Hi, everyone. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Nick.
And you're listening to It Takes Two, the podcast where two people take two movies with the same plot or premise and watch and discuss them.
In this episode, number 81,
the first time you've ever remembered what episode we're on.
Yeah, that's because we just did the previous one, which was 80, and I can do basic arithmetic. Superheroes without superpowers. It's Super and Kick-Ass, both from 2010, which is interesting.
Yeah, they're twin films.
Yeah.
Proper twin films.
It's about time.
It's the first one we've done.
No.
We've done many twin films.
Yeah.
These are both movies about, like, regular people deciding to dress up in costume and fight crime badly.
Shut up, crime!
Shut up, crime.
Obviously, spoilers for every episode, and including this one.
Yes.
This one's not special. It will be spoiled.
Hmm.
Both these movies, obviously the motivation of the characters are different. One is a teenager who's just like...
Why has no one ever decided to do this?
And the other one's Rainn Wilson, and he's lost his beautiful wife to Kevin Bacon, which is...
So you're going to say his mind.
That too. the tone of these movies are both kind of silly, and there's a little bit of reality in both of them, but they are both sub-reality movies.
Yeah, definitely sub-reality. A lot of violence. I think when I saw them originally, back around 2010, I don't think I saw either of these in cinema, but, you know, whenever I did see them, I think I liked Super more, but...
Rewatching it,
it really doesn't sit well with me. And it's mainly that one scene. You know what scene I'm talking about.
Yeah, we'll get to that scene later.
Okay.
Unless you want to talk about it now.
I mean, we can if we want to talk totally out of order, but it's up to you.
No, you can do whatever you want.
Okay. I mean, a little bit of a trigger warning here for sexual assault and rape. Super has a scene that plays the rape of a man for laughs.
Yeah, like most movies do.
Most movies don't have a scene where they...
I'm saying that, like, when it happens, it's always for comical effect. Like,
it shouldn't be. I think the boys toed a line with it in the recent season. I'm not going to go into details of that because I don't want to spoil the boys for people, but there is a scene that, to some extent, is supposed to be comical, but also is showing, like, tenseness and also how, you know, how devoid they are of you know, how far they've gone into this journey that, like, literally they will accept any horrible shit happening.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that didn't hit me as strongly as this one, whereas in Super, it's very much a joke that this guy is getting sexually assaulted by a 22-year-old, and that, like, he literally gets raped by her. That's what happens. And what really pisses me off about it, I mean, I think it's terrible to begin with, because obviously, you know, there is a huge kind of stigmatization around talking about the sexual assault and rape of men. You know, and it's something that's trivialized and something that, like, people will say, you know, doesn't happen. But it does happen, and it's just as serious as the sexual assault or rape of anyone else. But it's the fact that they play this scene for laughs, like it's a joke that this guy is getting raped. And then immediately after that, they're going to try and save his wife, and they up the stakes by implying she's going to get raped.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is serious now because this woman is going to get raped.
Yeah.
And it's like, but you just showed a man getting raped. You showed it on screen and said it was funny. And now you're like, oh, but now things are different because it's really serious because this woman is going to get raped.
Yeah.
And that just really, I think, removed any credit I could give to the movie.
Fair.
I mean, anything good about that movie, I think, was overwritten by that decision.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
It's also... obviously, you know, it's been 14 years.
Yeah.
But in saying that,
I don't think it's like, changed that much.
No.
I think people, I don't think, like, because I was going to say it's aged badly, but actually I don't think a lot of people would agree that it's aged badly, because I think it's, people are still putting that kind of shit.
I had to quickly Google it, because I couldn't remember the title, because there's been a few movies with, you know, days in them. That doesn't make any sense out of context. 40 Days and 40 Nights is a romantic comedy I saw, I don't know, remember when, early 2000s, it came out in 2002.
Right.
And it has a very similar scene in it, and it's sort of just glossed over for the whole movie. Like, yeah. It comes like in third act, but you're just like, oh. For those who haven't seen that movie, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but yeah. It's supposed to be a romantic comedy about a guy who's getting laid so much that getting laid doesn't mean anything to me, so he got, like, well, sorry, to me, to him, that he gives up sex for 40 days and 40 nights.
Right.
And it's just, like, a bunch of shenanigans that happen, because he's, like, I can't remember the guy, he's been in a few things, he's in Sin City, he was in,
Bruce Willis.
30 Days of Night, which is why I had to look it up.
All right.
Josh Hartnett.
Oh, okay.
He plays the main guy. But yeah.
Yeah, there's a weird amount of comedies. Because, I mean, Super is a comedy.
Yeah, it's definitely a black comedy.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it's not like a lighthearted comedy by any manner of means. But there's a weird amount of comedies that are like, haha, it's so funny when a man gets sexually assaulted. Yeah. And it's like, it's not.
No.
Can we just stop doing that?
It's also the a gay being used as a slur. In both movies.
In both movies, both movies. Also, they both use the R slur.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a... I mean, Elliot Page's character in Super is, like... I think the character of Libby was supposed to be, like, wet dream fantasy for teenage boys. Because she just talks like a teenage boy in the internet in the 2000s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's her whole thing, is that, like, oh, she's a girl who works in a comic shop, and she's into comics, and she's into superhero stuff, and she loves violence, and she's so un-PC, and she uses gay as a slur, and she uses, you know, there's other, I can't even remember what other language she used, but, like, her whole opening, like, intro, how she speaks.
Yeah.
Was very, like, dude bro, and it was like, oh, this is, like, you're, like, this was trying to get the attention of, like, teenage boys at the time who are going to be like, oh my god, she's just like one of us, she's so cool.
There's also the overly weirdly quirky reverse of that, because Rainn Wilson plays the convenience store guy in Juno.
Yeah.
And his dialogue is bizarre.
In Juno?
In Juno.
Yeah.
It's funny because it's not hurtful, but, like, it's still very weird.
Yeah, it's, I'm going to go straight into my, we're doing things all backwards here today, folks. I'm going to go straight into
usually
my trivia stuff.
Usually it's me trying to derail shit.
But it's just because you're talking about that. So Rainn Wilson, so this movie is made by James Gunn, famous for doing Guardians of the Galaxy, etc., etc. James Gunn used to be married to Jenna Fisher, who is, I've never watched The Office. Pam on The Office, The American Office.
Okay.
And he asked her to read over the script. They were not, I think they were divorced already at this point, but they were friends. Yeah. And he had sent her the script, and she was reading over it while she was on the set of The Office. And then she was like, hey, my buddy Rainn Wilson, you should read this script. And then Rainn Wilson was like, heck yes. He read the script once and was like, I want to do this movie. And then he also immediately sent his copy of the script to Elliot Page because he had loved working with Elliot Page
on Juno.
And he was like, this person's going to be great for this movie. So it was very much a, like, you know, friend of a friend situation that they ended up both being in it, which I thought was kind of funny.
Super is a little bit more deranged as a movie.
Than Kick-Ass?
Yeah, because Kick-Ass is like...
Kick-Ass feels more mainstream.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they were both trying to go kind of out there, indie, weird superhero thing.
Yeah.
I know this was right at the like, beginning of MCU.
Yeah.
Because it's 2 years after Iron Man and The Incredible Hulk. I think Thor came out around this time. 2009 or 2010? Anyway, it was right at the beginning of the MCU happening. So superhero movies were just coming back.
Yeah.
And then both these movies came out. Definitely Kick-Ass feels more mainstream.
Yeah.
Where Super was clearly targeting weirdo audiences. It was targeting the kind of audience who liked Juno, I guess. Yeah. You know?
It's... There's a lot of, like, subtle... ...ness to the movie that's less, like... ...well... You know, there's, with Kick-Ass, I find that you tend to... You know, you get the setup and you get the motivation... ...and then you get the sort of, like... ...his call to adventure... And then you see how he gets sort of superpowers, but not really.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it sort of just, like, escalates from there into, you know, him being like, I'm going to help people, like a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, help people find their cats. And then, you know, I get go viral on the internet and everybody wants my help now. On MySpace, of all things.
Also, that was... Because I was thinking about that when we were watching it, like, the concept of these people on their flip phones recording it and then it going viral and being the most watched thing on the internet.
Yeah, with
like,
5 million views.
It's the fact that that was the thing that they made, like, they made this film in 2010, or, you know, they probably shot it in 2009 or wrote it that, you know? And the fact that, like, at that, you know, late 2000s, they wrote about how the superhero became famous by going viral online. It was interesting, because then obviously, you know, that's now a dime a dozen in today's society. You get your 5 minutes of fame by going viral.
Yeah.
You know, and then people forget about you immediately.
Yeah, it's like in the last 6 months we've had so much stuff happen that's gone viral. And it's like, I think the Olympics has really helped. Because people are just, like, so on the ball and there's just constantly new stuff and you just put some text into it and, like, that poor guy who lost his thing because his dick touched the pole.
Right, the pole vaulter. Everyone knows about that.
And it's it's...
Our news cycle, this is definitely going to date when we're talking about this.
Yeah.
But our news cycle has become so fast-paced that very recently there was an assassination attempt against a former president of the United States and people immediately moved on from it.
Yeah.
Like, people have kind of forgotten that already.
Yeah.
Because so many other things have happened in the meantime and we hear about them all constantly.
Yeah, so, like...
I'm not even a person who is paying as much attention to the news as other people are.
Yeah.
And it's just like, whoop, it's gone.
Yeah, you went from... that Hokta girl to Trump getting assassinated to J.D. Vance being picked to J.D. Vance talking about the whole couch fucking of J.D. Vance to...
Biden dropping out of the race.
Biden dropping out of the race and Trump saying to an audience of people of color that Kamala Harris isn't black and she's just changed to being black to, like, be diversity and... Also, yeah, to date it, I said it recently because when I saw the launch happen, I would not be getting in a fucking spaceship made by Boeing if they can't make a plane without the wings, like, the doors flying off it. And now the fucking astronauts are stuck there until February.
And
it's supposed to be 8 days and they're going to be up there for 8 months. SpaceX had to bail them out by sending more food and clothing, like... and they switched friggin' CEOs. Like,
so this is the news coming from the United States to New Zealand.
Yeah. It's so much.
Yeah, there's just so much happening. And like you said, in the midst of all this, the Olympics is happening. There's everything about, like, social media is full of stuff about the Olympics.
The river was poison, then it wasn't poison, then they had some rain, and now it's poison.
The boxer that no one cared about when she lost in the quarterfinals of the last Olympics, but now because she beat someone, and everyone's like, well, actually, she's a man, even though...
It's illegal to be trans in the country, and therefore, if there was even a rumor within the country, she never would have been sent.
Yeah, so she is a cis woman. I mean, also, like, if she was a trans woman, she would still be a woman. But that's a whole other ballgame. Like, it's literally based on nothing, except that people think she looks... Manish, and therefore, you know, and it's coming to that whole, you know, head of transphobes. The thing that we all know that transphobes TERFs especially, you know, these like trans-exclusionary radical feminists, they're not feminists, they're like trad wives, and they want all women to conform to their idea of what a woman is, and if you don't conform to what their idea of a woman is, then you must be a man. And yeah. That's what we all knew was going to happen. And then, surprise, surprise, they see a woman they don't like, and they're a cis woman they don't like, and they're like, it's a man. No. That's not how it works. Anyway, we've gone way off the rails. How did we get here?
Crimson Bolt is Rainn Wilson's superhero alter ego, yeah, and he hits people with wrenches, and I always thought that was funny.
I think that's what's the funniest thing about that for me is that he literally goes to the comic shop and gets Libby to show him like a bunch of different superheroes who use weapons because he's like, I need, you know, inspiration, I need to get a weapon, and like she gives him all these, you know, like Batman, etc., you know, people who have like actual weapons, and he just goes home and then picks up like a wrench and is like, yeah, I'll do.
He smashes a melon with
and
it.
It's like, hang on, what did you need the research for? It's not like any of these are doing that, you know?
Yeah, it's
whereas Kick-Ass, he's got his like batons that he's using.
Yeah, which is interesting pick as well.
Yeah, but he's clearly thought about it.
Yeah.
And also that he goes out with weapons the first time.
Yeah.
Whereas Rainn Wilson.
Crimson Bolt's costume is so bad it's good.
It definitely works as a guy who sewed his own costume together from his own design. But do you know what my favorite part of the costume is?
What?
The zips are on the front. He's made a costume that he can easily get in and out of.
Yeah.
It makes so much sense. Yeah. I was like, that, like, from a practicality point of view, of course, put your zip on the front so you can get into the costume without help.
Yeah.
Why? Because Kick-Ass's zip is the whole way down his back.
Yeah, but it's also supposed to be a wetsuit.
Yeah, but it's difficult. Have you ever put on a wetsuit?
Yes.
It is difficult. Yes, it is difficult, especially by yourself. And a lot of wetsuits will have like a long thing on it so that you can grab it and pull it up. His didn't seem to have that, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, you don't want your enemies stripping you while you're fighting them.
Yeah, I mean, they can do that anyway if you've got a zip.
That's true. Maybe he's got one of those electric things on the end of it, like Batman's cowl. I think there was in multiple movies, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, or at least in the comics or animated. Not Harley Quinn. There's definitely a tonal difference. Kick-Ass is very reactionary until he meets up with Mindy and Nicolas Cage.
Damon. Also known as Hit Girl and Big Daddy.
Yeah. Yeah, and sort of like in Super, he gets beaten up and has to like hide at Libby's place.
He gets shot.
Yeah.
He gets shot, and then he like needs help, and Libby at this point is the only person who's kind of figured it out.
Yeah.
And he's denied it to her face before, but she's figured it out.
Yeah.
So that's where he goes.
Yeah, and she's a psychopath.
She is literally a psychopath.
Yeah.
It's insane. She's like, oh, I know a guy who's committed a crime, and that it's a guy that she thinks might have keyed her friend's car.
Yeah.
And then she wants to literally murder him. And she's like, oh, I didn't know that we weren't supposed to kill them. I'm only learning at this. It's like,
what? You work in a comic book store, like. Yeah, Bolty as a super, like,
She is literally insane. Like, she's just, like, cackling maniacally at everything she does.
It's interesting.
Mm.
It's some of the parts of that movie are still, you know, but yeah, the tone shift is really brought down. It's a bizarre choice. It's a bizarre choice to put that in the movie.
Which?
The whole assault scene.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, oh, you know, but like we as people can't have sex, but our superheroes can.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's definitely playing into her character being an absolute nutjob.
Yeah.
Like she really is like literally a psychopath or a sociopath. No, a psychopath. She gets glee from hurting people.
Yeah.
And you know, and this plays into it that she's like just, you know, totally. Do you know what it is? She has no inhibition, I guess. She has no, like, conscience. There's nothing in there. She thinks she has a thought and she's like, I'm going to act on that.
Yeah.
There's nothing stopping her. Even, like, the fact that she keeps saying his actual name. Yeah. While they're doing stuff. I was going to say his human name, but that's a weird way to phrase it. But she keeps calling him Frank. Yeah. While they're, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, stop saying that. She's like, stop saying what, Frank? He's like, oh my God. There's no filter.
Yeah.
And it's not just in her words, in her actions. And, you know, and that's why she literally, like, can't stop herself from, like, going to extremes and hurting people. And then also, you know, that plays into the assault scene. That's why she's, like, she goes full ham on it. But it's just the fact that's, like, supposed to be a jokey thing is not great.
Yeah.
Because you could still have the scene and make it clear that, like, actually, like, this is him realizing that she's a real psychopath, you know, that she doesn't have control over her actions, or that she doesn't want to control her actions, you know, whatever. But instead it's like, ha 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 ha, funny, and then immediately forgotten, and they go to save his wife.
Yeah. I would have to say Kick-Ass also has, like, a really ridiculous throwaway sex scene that's just in the movie for no reason.
Yeah, at least it's consenting.
Yeah, it's consenting.
But it's very weird.
It's very weird that they, like, spend the night together after, obviously spoilers, after he reveals himself to be Kick-Ass to the girl who thought he was gay, and they were, like, spending time together. And she's fine with it almost instantly, which is bizarre. And then they're, like, hanging out in the comic book shop, and then they have sex next to a dumpster at the fire exit.
Yeah.
And you're like, why is this scene in the movie? It's so dumb.
There's no reason for it.
No. It's not artistic, like in Watchmen, or, you know, I think that scene's actually really great. For some, like, in a 90% weird movie. Should really watch
Watchmen
it.
Watchmen came out around this time as well.
Yeah. There was a big, like, I think the studios, all the production studios were like, shit, let's get.
Yeah, it was just like when
shotgun MCU started, effect. Like,
yeah, when the MCU started to kick everything off, and they were like, oh shit, this is successful. It was like every studio wanted a superhero franchise. Kick-Ass did become a franchise, right? I've never seen the sequel.
You haven't seen the sequel?
No.
Oh, okay.
Is Red Mist the villain in it?
Yes.
Okay, because I was thinking when we get, like, towards the end of Kick-Ass, the thought that occurred to me is that this film feels like it's less about Kick-Ass and more of a villain origin story for Red Mist. Like, the whole film is a villain origin story for Red Mist. So I was like, he better be the villain in the second one. Otherwise, like, what? That's a waste of a whole movie that they just turned into, like, it's literally a villain origin story.
Yeah. Yeah, it's your dad being the guy you want to envy, like, look up to, and then he gets fired out of a window by a bazooka and exploded.
Yeah. Well, this guy that you thought was your friend.
Yeah.
But really didn't care about you when it came down to it.
Yeah. It's, yeah, Kick-Ass is just overall a better movie. Holds up a lot better. Yeah. Still, you know, and the violence is a little bit more fun rather than visceral.
Right.
Because I like
there's a lot of, like, head explosions in it.
Yeah, there's more, far more gun violence and people getting killed, but, like, a bullet hitting somebody and then, like, them falling over and being dead is a little bit less violent than someone smashing someone's head in repeatedly with a wrench.
No, I mean, Super really goes for the hyper-violent aspect. Yeah. You know, that's really what it's doing.
Because even though, like, obviously spoilers again, Libby's death, like, Bolte's death,
is horrific.
Yeah.
I
Because, like, she goes full, like, X-23 on it.
Yeah, but there's kind of foreshadowing to it in some to some extent, because they keep emphasizing the height difference between them.
Yeah.
And then, like, they both get shot at the same range.
Yeah.
And his is, he takes it in the chest.
Yeah.
And, like, but I mean, if you're thinking about it, you're like, shit, her face is at his chest height.
Yeah.
So then when you see her, it's, like, literally half her face blown off.
Yeah.
Which is horrific.
But it's, yeah.
But it's also so abrupt.
Yeah, it really is. Because they make a big deal about it going and buying, like, actual body armor and stuff. And
yeah.
And I think that's one of the, like, great scenes in Kick-Ass is just, like, Mindy's training to be Hit Girl is literally wherever the hell they are, like, in the docks. And just Nicolas Cage shooting her on the premise that he will take her bowling afterwards.
Yeah, and it's you know, the what they're training for so that she won't be scared when someone else points a gun at her. Because he's like, you know, someone else will point a gun at you.
Yeah.
And so she, you know, it's so that she is prepared for that. Which makes sense. If you're going into vigilante justice.
Yeah.
They're the most prepared of everyone in both movies.
Yeah.
They're the only ones who are actually prepared for anything. And that's because his background is that he's a cop.
Yeah.
He was a cop.
He was a cop, went to prison.
Yeah, he got framed, went to prison. So he's both a cop and someone who's come out of prison.
Yeah.
So he knows what he's talking about. Whereas, you know, both Kick-Ass and Red Bolt...
Crimson
Bolt have no planning
when
they go into it first. They just like, they're like, I'm going to put on this costume and I'm going to go out and wait around to fight crime or whatever. And I mean, to some extent, Kick-Ass does a little bit of something because he tries to like teach himself parkour.
Yeah.
Whereas Crimson Bolt is just like sitting behind a dumpster waiting for a crime to happen.
Yeah.
And then they both kind of get the shit kicked out of them the first time they try to fight crime. At which point, Crimson Bolt is like, oh, I need a weapon.
Yeah.
And Kick-Ass gets hit by a car and goes to the hospital and gets all his bones replaced with metal.
It looks like Wolverine.
And messes up his nerve endings so he can't, like, feel pain. And then,
which is the weird, like, oh, okay, you know, disbelief thing. Because, like, that's the thing about superheroes. That are always super. And there's very little... in the way of media. I think probably... because, like, I think the big problem was the 80s, 90s action movies where people would just walk off stuff that would be like, oh, shit, I need to go to the hospital now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Can I, since you've brought up
80s
and 90s action movies, there was one of the trivia bits that I took down. I'll just mention it now because you've already brought them up. The role that Kevin Bacon plays... in Super.
Yeah.
Was not supposed to be Kevin Bacon first.
Okay.
It was written for Jean-Claude Van Damme. Which explains why his name is Jacques, which is a French name.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was supposed to be Jean-Claude Van Damme, but apparently he was like really hard to work with and
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
And basically James Gunn said that he couldn't risk working with someone with that kind of personality on the thing, and then they replaced him with Kevin Bacon last minute.
But it's it was supposed to
be Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Because with the placement of Kevin Bacon, it is such a Guardians of the Galaxy, like, pre-casting.
There's so many people from the Guardians series that are in there. I mean, one of them is Sean Gunn, who is James Gunn's brother, so that makes sense.
Yeah, and James Gunn plays something like the weird... like Nathan Fillion. Oh my god, I'd forgotten about it. Yeah, because, like, again, Nathan Fillion's in Guardians 3. Yeah, James Gunn plays, like, this devil that comes and tempts high schoolers.
In a TV show.
Yeah.
We should specify. Within the universe of the thing.
Yeah. And then the other one is the MCU. Because you get two fucking Quicksilvers in the same movie together.
Yeah, true. You get two Quicksilvers. Yeah, because I was going to say Michael Rooker as well in Super.
Yeah.
Who plays Yondu.
Yeah.
In Guardians. But yeah, you do get... Aaron Taylor-Johnson, who plays Quicksilver in the MCU. I mean, actually, they both technically play in the MCU. I was going to say Evan Peters plays him in the Fox X-Men series,
yeah.
but then he also plays them in WandaVision.
Yeah.
And also now Fox has been bought by Disney, but I don't think that technically makes them MCU retroactively or anything.
No.
But yeah, so you've got the Fox Quicksilver and the MCU Quicksilver, which is a weird.
Yeah, and a movie about superheroes.
Yeah, in 2010.
Yeah.
Because I had totally forgotten Evan Peters was in it. I think I just had no concept of who he was at the time. I mean, I didn't know who Aaron Taylor Johnson was at the time either, but, like, he was the lead in the movie and then went on to do a bunch of other things. So the name, you know, the familiarity stuck with me. That, like, you see him in other things, you're like, oh, that's Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Whereas Evan Peters, like, has been in a bunch of things more recently, but there was a big, I feel like there was a big gap for him, or at least in terms of well-known films.
Yeah.
Or big roles.
That scene is so fantastic.
The Quicksilver scene in the X-Men?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, both. Because I think all the movies that came after that all had, like, slow-mo scenes.
Did they?
Because I think, spoilers for another movie. Because he saves them when the skull blows up.
Yeah. It's Days of Future Past, right?
No, Days of Future Past is when it has the kitchen scene. It's when they break Magneto out.
So was it First Class?
No.
No.
Because that's the first one.
Yeah, I didn't think it was the first one. Days of Future Past is the second one.
Yeah, but the third one was...
Apocalypse,
yeah. And I haven't seen...
I haven't seen Dark Phoenix.
Yeah.
But I thought it was Days of Future Past, the one where he...
No, it's the kitchen scene.
Saves him from the school. What's the one for the school then?
I'm pretty sure it's Apocalypse.
Oh, so that one came second?
Well, it's the fourth movie, yeah.
Third movie?
Fourth.
What's the third one?
That's a good question. What is the third one? No, so it's First Class, and then, is it, no, it doesn't, is that right? Days of Future Past is the second one?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Bizarre.
Isn't it? Now you're just confusing me.
I'm confused myself.
Okay, so First Class. Yeah, First Class, Days of Future Past, Apocalypse, Dark Phoenix.
Oh, okay. There was only four. It felt like...
No, because it was originally like a trilogy, and then they made Dark Phoenix afterwards.
Days of Future Past is such a good movie. Kevin Bacon's also in...
X-Men movies, yeah.
X-Men movies, yeah. What are you looking at?
I'm going to look up the Quicksilver slow-mo house rescue scene.
You're just going to watch a video?
No, I'm not going to. I'm going to figure out what movie is it. Days of Future Past!
It's Days of... No, it's not.
It's literally Days of Future Past. So
that movie has two Quicksilver scenes in it?
Possibly. Days of Future Past. So what was the kitchen one you want?
The kitchen one's when they break Magneto out.
Kitchen scene.
They break
also Days of Future Past. Yeah, they're both in Days of Future Past.
That's so weird.
Can I just say that the phrase Days of Future Past sounds so weird to me now because I've said it so many times.
Are you going to put a rogue cut at the end of it?
Rogue cut?
Yeah.
No.
It's when they bought Anna Paquin in. Because she's it makes sense. Yeah.
Anyway, Evan Peters was a great Quicksilver. Maybe controversial opinion, Evan Peters is a better Quicksilver than Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Well, he didn't get a chance. He's like...
Yeah, he also was kind of shit, but I don't know if that was him or the MCU not writing it well. I think the Evan Peters Quicksilver was written, like the way they did it in the movie, it was produced very well. And I think he did a good job at it. And I thought it was very funny that he shows up in WandaVision.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be her brother, and it's like this...
Yeah, it's the wrong actor.
It's the guy. And it's a weird meta moment, and I think it's very funny.
Yeah, because, like, I don't think there's much of that outside of, like, Deadpool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, WandaVision definitely did some meta stuff.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, go see Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to spoil any of that movie.
Yeah.
Cause that's
we're not going to say anything
about
it. But if you like these movies, if you like
ultra violent,
if you like violent superhero vigilante movies, you probably will like the Deadpool movie. Because we did happen to go see a screening of it where people walked out during the opening scene.
Yeah.
So if you're not a fan of seeing violence on screen, you might not enjoy it. You might also walk out during the opening scene. But at least it let you know early on what to expect.
I think you pretty much gave it away with a condom ad in the trailers, honestly. Yeah, that whole sequence IRL was very bizarre. Weirded me out a little bit.
People leaving?
Yeah.
The cinema?
Because most people know what they're getting into these days.
I mean, the weirdest thing about it for me was that this is the third movie in a trilogy. So, like, did they not see the first two? Like, if you've seen the first two, that opening sequence isn't shocking.
Yeah.
You know? So, did they not see the first two? Did they, like, what did they think they were going to see? And also, like, I can say I booked tickets online to see for that screening. And, like, it gave me a warning before I booked it. It was like, this is for over 16s. It's got violence, it's got whatever. Like, don't buy this if you're not over 16. And then they sent me an email being like, reminder, it's over 16. And then they sent me another email being like, hey, just a reminder, it is rated over 16s. You might need to bring ID. Don't be offended if we ask for ID. You know, it does have all these warnings. So, like, I don't understand how these people, mom and kid got into the...
Yeah.
I say kid. Presumably he's over 16. But he was probably 16, 17.
Yeah.
With his mother.
Yeah.
We're in the screening of it. But I don't understand how they could have gotten in to see Deadpool and Wolverine with no knowledge that it was a violent movie.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not know? Like, I just don't understand.
It was jarring as well, because, like, no, I'm not going to talk about how good the movie is. Go see it.
Yeah, go see the movie if you're not,
like, yeah, the opening is amazing. And it's just like, oh, they're leaving. It's like,
yeah,
were they here?
Because they couldn't have walked into the... Because I thought, like, you know, I had a thought that maybe they're in the wrong screen and they should have been in the other screen. They were seeing something for the film festival or whatever. But, like... Then you would have left as soon as it came up that it was an MCU film.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, it's not, you know. Or when Deadpool appears on screen for the first time. Not like, you know, 5 minutes into a opening violent fight scene.
Yeah.
Was it weird? Just weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the violence of these films.
Less jarring, I think, than when we saw Avatar 2, though.
What do you mean? Oh, because there's someone, like, shouting at the screen?
Yeah, there was a lady shouting at the characters to do stuff.
Yeah, and that was like, weird.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like we're in a cinema.
That's what we get for going to the movies in the middle of the day in a weekday. Back when we could. Yeah, back to these movies. It's very interesting having them so closely related to, like, two massive franchises. Mm. And... You know, one of them got a sequel, which was Kick-Ass. Super didn't, because it's sort of, like, nicely wrapped up with the ending of, you know, Sarah playing by Liv Tyler, not even being with Rainn Wilson at the end of it, because she was just, like, trying to find her place in her life, and now he's, like, this guy who just draws comics and puts them on his wall.
No.
Like, no?
They're drawings from her kids.
Are they?
Yeah, she said, oh my god, he, like, the whole thing was that, like, he was, you know, he accepts that his role in the world, that he, because he has a whole thing where he thinks he's been chosen by God, and then he has this realization that he's not the one chosen by God, it's her, and that he got all these visions, allegedly, so that he could save her. So that she could go back to school and she could, you know, find this other guy and marry him and have these kids, and she could have this life where she's doing good. And it doesn't matter that he's unimportant, because without him, she wouldn't still be alive. Without him, these kids wouldn't exist. And she sends him the drawings her kids do in the post. You see him getting the post, and it's like, you know, Uncle Frank and stuff on the drawings. And then he has them plastered all over his wall.
Oh, I thought it was, yeah, okay. I thought it was just him drawing his life. Weird. Okay.
I don't know. Now I want to know, is there, like, I'm going to look up the Wikipedia plot for to see if it's mentioned. People can tell us, people can join our Discord and tell us what way you interpreted it. I just looked up, I literally just Googled the word super and gave me a definition.
Yeah. I had that exactly same thing.
Because I definitely interpreted it as they were the kids' drawings.
Maybe it's just both?
Maybe.
Because it is, like, him, right, like, drawing out as, like, the pivotal moments, like, in his life of him getting married.
Oh, yeah, true, yeah, because he had done that.
And then helping a cop out, and then her being, like, the hands are too big.
Because at the beginning, he had just two, he had only had two good moments in his life.
Yeah.
Okay, it says that, yeah, it refers to it in the, as his wall of happy memories. So it doesn't specify in this who drew them, but it says it's the wall's covered with pictures of his experiences from his time spent with Libby and pictures of Sarah's children who call him Uncle Frank. So,
because there's no way the kids would have drawn the picture of Libby.
Right.
Because she was shot in the head before they were born.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe it is, like, maybe
it might be, it was probably a mix.
Yeah, because there's no way you would do a self-portrait that crappy of you with a rabbit on your head.
Yeah, I think it's a mix. I think he's got, I think he's continuing to draw his memory, his happy memories, but also he's putting up the drawings that the kids didn't. Okay, so it's we're both correct.
Yeah. The best kind.
Yeah.
Where no one's wrong.
I think that's right. But yeah, but his whole thing is, I do appreciate that. I think that's good that, like, his character, because, you know, the whole way through it, it's him trying to get Sarah back.
Yeah.
And I think it's good that it's not, like, a possessive thing that then, like, he doesn't get upset or mad when she leaves him.
Yeah.
You know, he says, like, he acknowledges that, like, she stayed with him for a couple of months, probably out of her own sense of obligation.
Yeah.
But now she's, you know, she's leading her AA group or whatever, and she's gone and got her degree, and she's living this life, and she's got these kids, and, you know, and he feels content having helped facilitate that. He doesn't seem to feel in any way jealous over the relationship that she has with her husband or anything like that. And I think that is good.
Yeah.
Because they could easily have had it that he was, you know, angry or whatever over her, you know, doing all this for her and then her not even being his.
Do you want to move into some trivia?
Do you want to? Is there nothing else you want to say about the movies?
Not really. I think we covered it off pretty thoroughly. Like, the movies are very similar. They came out at the same time. You know, it's, the differences are very jarring.
I will say, we haven't really talked about Hit Girl and Big Daddy much. I think the only real superhero in either of these movies is Hit Girl.
I guess.
You know, like, she's, like, I mean, first of all, she's actually trained to do what she's doing. But also, like, you know, she has the spirit to go, to be like, no, we're going to do this, we're going to follow it through, we're going to, you know, get whatever. And then she actually, like, she shows up, like, she gets shot at and you think she's dead. And then, well, I mean, we know that she's practiced for it. And then she, like, shows up and wipes out all the guys live on camera, and then has her, like, badass, like, shows over folks, shoots the camera moment, and then she, like, wipes out a whole floor of guys in this guy Frank's home. Like, she's way cooler than any of the other characters, yeah, like, hero characters.
That's the whole, like, how she's written and how she's perceived.
Yeah, yeah. Also the acting.
Yeah.
Because I knew Chloe Grace Moretz was only, like, 13 during this film. But, like, it's weird to go back and watch it. Like, having seen her act in things as an adult and stuff, it's weird to go back and be like, whoa, she was, like, just a teeny tiny baby in this movie.
The fact she learned how to do the bell song tricks is fantastic.
Yeah, it's so good. Also, I love the, though, I mean, that is in the trivia, so I suppose we can segue into trivia. The Big Daddy, like part of how he disguises his identity while he's in character as
Daddy. Increases length of his mustache.
Yeah, because he has, you know, as Damon, he has a mustache, and then as Big Daddy, he just has a bigger mustache.
Yeah,
and apparently that was Nick Cage's idea.
Of course, it was.
Nick Cage came up with the idea that like his disguise would be that Damon McGreedy has a mustache, but Big Daddy has a larger mustache with adhesive extensions. I suppose I'll stick
It's probably one of the only other movies where it shows people putting on eyeliner.
Yeah, like putting eyeshadow. On, yeah, he paints around his eyes in black.
Yeah,
because it always
annoyed the shit out of me in the Nolan Batman movies.
Yeah, they
not so much with the Batman, the Robert Pattinson one.
He doesn't.
Yeah.
He puts the black on his eyes.
Just get an airbrush. They're like, get a makeup airbrush. They're like $30 on AliExpress.
Yeah, like, just paint around your eyes so that then it like blends in with your mask.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, because Red Mist does that as well.
Yeah.
Because he takes off his mask and he's got like panda eyes.
Yeah. And it pisses me off when like Christian Bale took his mask off and just didn't have any black around his eyes. And I was like, what? Like, you keep makeup wipes in your utility belt, sir?
Maybe. So we'll stick with trivia for Kick-Ass, I guess, because we were already on that. The Hit Girl's entrance, her first entrance as Hit Girl, originally didn't have the swearing in it.
Right.
But it wasn't, like, working as well as it could, and it was Chloe Grace Moretz's mother who suggested And apparently, like, Chloe Grace Moretz at the time was, like, so not into saying curse words that like she would do it for the film, but then like outside of filming she wouldn't even say the name of the film because she didn't want to say the word ass. So in like any interviews with her around the time, she just refers to it as the film, and apparently at home she calls it Kick Butt. Which is cute. She's like a 13-year-old kid in this movie, but like on screen she's swearing up a storm. But I think it's funny that her mom suggested it. So Matthew Vaughn, who did the movie, so there's a whole lot of weird, I think Matthew Vaughn, who directed the movie, was originally supposed to direct the first Thor movie.
Oh, okay.
And then backed out of it, but he was working with Mark Miller, who wrote Kick-Ass, for ideas on Thor. I think Mark Miller reached out to him with ideas for Thor, and then when Matthew Vaughn was going to make a different superhero movie, he wanted Mark Miller's ideas, and they had like, or no, I think they just wanted to make a movie together. So they had kind of pitched ideas. They're like, apparently one of their ideas was to do like a sequel to the Bible. I don't know how that would have gone, but then they met each other at the premiere, the London premiere for Stardust, which Matthew Vaughn also made. And at the premiere for Stardust, Mark Miller pitched his idea for Kick-Ass to Matthew Vaughn, and that's how they ended up making the movie. He also, Matthew Vaughn, did the movie for free, but put it in his contract that the only condition that he wouldn't be paid in money would be that he gets to keep the Mistmobile at the end of the movie. So he owns that car. He says he finds it too powerful to actually drive it. But that was his payment for writing, directing, producing the film, was that he got to keep the car. And he also, like, had approached a whole load of studios and was rejected by all of them. Largely because, a lot of them gave him an ultimatum, and the ultimatum was either get rid of Hit Girl or make her 19. Right. And he was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And keeping the 13-year-old in here.
I just found some trivia. Apparently, the two sequels.
You're not letting me finish the trivia I was saying.
Oh, sorry. Okay, continue then.
Why? What's the point?
Just continue.
So he raised, because he got rejected by all the studios, he raised the budget at a dinner party and made the movie independently, and then ended up selling the rights to Universal for more money than he had originally asked for when he approached them first.
Classic.
Yeah. What was your bit of trivia?
There's two sequels coming.
To which?
To Kick-Ass.
Kick-Ass?
Yeah.
So there's only one so far, right?
Yeah.
And why have they waited so long to
do more? I have no idea. I just found that, like, it's called Skull Fight, and it's in more like pre-production.
Weird. Okay.
Is
there only one so far, or is there actually more? No, I'm not sure. I haven't seen any sequel to it. Because there might have been a second one, right?
Second one what?
Second sequel.
To what?
Kick-Ass.
Yeah, there's literally two more movies coming.
No, no, I thought there might have been another one. I thought there might have been a Kick-Ass 3 in between. But no, there isn't. No, there isn't. So Kick-Ass in 2010, Kick-Ass 2 in 2013. And then 10 years later, more than 10 years later?
Yeah, it's very weird.
That's strange.
But then you look at, like, a lot of reboots at the moment are being very popular.
Yeah, true.
Like, no one until, well, I say recently, but, like, recently in the grand scheme of time, with Furiosa coming from, like, Mad Max, Fury Road, and there was something else that just, Romulus.
Yeah.
Because it was sort of like, aliens are back, and then, they died again because it was like, what was the second one?
Covenant.
Covenant was just such a weirdly done movie, with the fact that you had to watch a bunch of things online to understand who the characters were before them, like, going to the movie, like...
I mean, that's what MCU was done nowadays.
Yeah, but
MCU... That, like, we went to see Deadpool and Wolverine, and I had to keep being like, hey, you haven't watched Loki, so let me tell you about...
Yeah.
Oh, so that would be my recommendation, is you don't need to watch all the MCU stuff, but maybe watch Loki before you watch Deadpool and Wolverine, if you want to get all the ins and outs of it.
And also Deadpool 1 and 2.
Yeah, true.
So, sorry, trivia for Super.
Oh, yeah. I've already kind of given out most of it. I will say it was shot over 24 days, so they did it in less than a month.
Yeah.
And it is James Gunn's lowest grossing film.
Fair.
Yeah. But I've already covered all the rest of the trivia I had on that, because we kind of talked about it throughout the thing. Do you want to talk budget and box office? Because they came out the same year.
Yeah,
so well. We can compare them. Do you know the budgets and box offices?
No.
Oh, sometimes you do. What would you guess is the higher budget film?
And so the look on your face means it's Super.
No, it's not.
Oh. You tricked me. You did a trickery.
Do you have any guess on what the budgets are for either movie?
I'm going to say 15 and 25.
Dollars?
Million.
Million? Low on one and high on the other. So the budget for Super was $2.5 million.
Oh, okay.
And the budget for Kick-Ass was $30 million.
Okay.
I don't know what kind of dinner parties Matthew Vaughn is throwing that he could raise $30 million at a dinner party, but fair enough.
Yeah.
Which do you think did better at box office?
Kick-Ass.
Any idea by how much?
Like, I'm going to say double. So I'm going to say it made 60, where the other one made like 10.
Mm. So, but I mean, that's six times anyway.
I mean, like double, as in double the cost.
Oh, double the cost. No, it made more than that, actually. So Kick-Ass actually made $96 million.
That sounds good.
So more than triple the cost. Super.
Made less?
Less than what? Less than 96 million? Definitely.
No, I was going to say less than its budget.
Less than its budget? Yes.
Wow.
Way less than its budget. 422,000.
That doesn't seem right.
On a $2.5 million budget.
That's bananas.
So it's no wonder it's listed as lowest grossing film. He just didn't make any money with that one. That does feel like ridiculous. But apparently that's correct. There's another estimation here that says they made 590,000, but still, like, we're in the ballpark of 500,000, which is a fifth of the budget. Yeah. So, not great for Super. I mean, I did say that I didn't see it in cinema.
Yeah.
Maybe it didn't even get a release where I was. I'm not sure, to be honest. But, yeah. Really didn't do very well. Which I feel like it should have done better than that. But I don't think it was... I don't think it's, like, absolutely mind-blowing fantastic. But definitely at the time, it was quite novel.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, it was a little bit odd. It didn't... Oh, so it did make a bunch of DVD Blu-ray sales.
Yeah, yeah.
This is an estimate from August 2011, so about a year after it came out, it had made 1.2 million in DVD Blu-ray sales, which is still less than its budget.
Yeah.
It's a... I guess it was a, you know, a kind of a polarizing film. It was very violent. It was an indie film. It was, you know, not... I mean, James Gunn is a huge name now, but I don't think at the time he was. What had he made at that point, actually? Because I don't think he'd made a lot. Oh, he had done... Hang on. Super... So he hadn't done anything in a few years, actually. It was his second movie that he directed. The first movie he directed was Slither in 2006.
Have you seen Slither?
No, I haven't. Okay. And he had written a few films, which were Tromeo and Juliet, The Specials, Scooby-Doo, and Dawn of the Dead, and Scooby-Doo 2 Monsters Unleashed. So he had written the Scooby-Doo movies, which were pretty good. And then his directorial debut was Slither, and then he did Super. And then the next film that he wrote and directed after Super...
Is Guardians
of the Galaxy. So, I mean, he did well for himself in that regard. That, like, he went... You know, he might not have made a lot of money on Super, but then the next... But from that, he got into Guardians of the Galaxy. And obviously has made quite a lot of money doing, the three Guardians movies. It made quite a name for himself nowadays. But, like... At that point, he was nobody. Matthew Vaughn had only he had written and directed at that point was, I think he had directed Layer Cake, but then the only film that he had both written and directed before Kick-Ass was Stardust, which we've already covered on the podcast. I really like Stardust. But he's made a whole load of things since then as well. I can't remember what they were. I did look at a list earlier of what Matthew Vaughn had done. So he did, X-Men First Class, and then he did the Days of Future Past, and then he did the Kingsman movies. So he did Kingsman Secret Service, Golden Circle, and The Kingsman, and he also directed and produced Argyle, which we've seen relatively recently as well. So, I mean, they've both gone on to make pretty decent names for themselves, I think, in the meantime. I feel like Matthew Vaughn was a bigger name at the time than James Gunn, but, like, still hadn't done a lot.
Yeah.
But he did, he wrote and directed X-Men First Class, and then he wrote the story, but not the script for Days of Future Past, and he didn't direct it, but he produced it. And then he wrote, directed, and produced the three Kingsman movies.
Those are also, like, super violent, and also randomly have Mark Strong in them.
Yeah, true. It doesn't surprise me that the guy who wrote Kick-Ass also did the Kingsman movies.
Yeah,
they're in the same kind of vein of, like, regular dudes
ultra violence
ending up doing some kind of ultra violence thing.
If you want to find us online to listen to more of our podcast because you've randomly stumbled across this, go to our website at takes2.co.nz. Mm-hmm. And you can find everything there with our RSS feed and all links to wherever you can listen to a podcast, to our YouTube channel, and links to our Discord. But those will be in the show notes. I always say comments and get frowned at.
I don't think you've ever said comments. I don't.
Oh, okay.
I think you said in the description.
Maybe the description.
You're used to like videos. I mean, on YouTube, it's in the description.
Yeah, true. So thank you for listening to our episode about Super and Kick-Ass.
Mm-hmm. Let us know your thoughts by reviewing us or joining our Discord or leaving a comment wherever you watch this or listen to this. All right. Goodbye.
Bye.